40, and then a few verses in chapter 41, Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. Then we'll skip around a little bit here and read a few verses in Isaiah. You see, the book of Isaiah is divided in two sections. The first 39 chapters is God establishing himself as the God that's on the throne and the God that's in control. The last part, chapter 40 through chapter 66, he reveals himself as the God of comfort, the God of comfort. Amen. So he is the God, and Isaiah saw the revelation of this. Isaiah chapter 6, he saw the revelation of the Lord high and lifted up, and my, what a revelation that he had. And he presented that God that is in control. Some have divided this book into the first section as God and government, God in control. And the last part, God and comfort. Praise God for that. Let's read here these verses. Read a couple of verses here in chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now skip on down to verse 25, the same chapter. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Judah, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Praise God. Now skip over to chapter 41 and verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they shall strive with thee, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Now these are words of comfort. As I said, this section is divided, and some have called it this section as revealing the God of consolation, the consolation of Israel, or the comfort of Israel. And so that's why that he sets the mood there when he says, comfort ye, comfort my people, and to give everyone an understanding. He's not just the God who's in control and the God who will bring judgment. He is that God, but he's also the God who cares about his people enough to minister to them, to comfort them, to strengthen them, to help them in their need. whatever that need might be. Praise God. So we have a God. Then Brother Bowman talked about the creation. This chapter reveals the God who is the creator. God who is the creator. And it says, who do you liken me to? Or who do you compare me to? To others that have power and strength? He said, lift up your eyes. He's saying, look at creation. Look at all that I have created. Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things? Well, what are the things he created? Well, everything, as Brother Bowman said. Everything was nothing until he spoke it into existence. So the stars exist. The universe exists. The planets exist. All of creation, everything in this world on earth is all the handiwork of God. He spoke it into existence. Praise God. The psalmist said that when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers. Amen. I mean, this was a little small, little tedious little work that he did with his fingers. Didn't require his arm or his hand necessarily. He just was working and doing all of these things. It was revealing the mighty power of God. The moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, all the billions of stars and planets. And he not only created it all, but he also maintains it. He also keeps it moving and rotating, and all of the orbits and the movements of the planets and the universe and the stars and everything. God, everything by him can, it only consists because of his mighty power and by his word. Colossians 1 and 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now it's saying, who do you compare any power to that can compare to a creator God? A God that can speak everything into existence. Now that's a pretty wonderful thought, but let me just remind you of this. That man, when man was created, people were created like you and me. We were the crown of creation. And if he can do all of that to put all of everything in motion and create it, and it says here in this text that he names every one of them. They say there's billions of stars and maybe millions or billions of all kinds of things throughout the universe and the galaxies and all of these things. It's mind-boggling, but everything is named by him. And yet, he cares more about his crowning creation, you and me. Amen. So if he created it all and he spoke it all into existence, and then it's by him that it all consists or continues, all in perfect motion and all in perfect uniformity, everything in perfect order. If you think he can do that, and the Bible says that he did and that he can and he is doing that every minute of the day, then why would we ever think that he would allow his own creation to go without help? Amen. I want you to be comforted tonight. I want you to be strengthened and encouraged tonight to know that the God that's the creator God of the universe is in control of it all and even in control of your life. Amen. Mankind is the apple of his eye. And I know Israel was called the apple of his eye, but those of you and I that have been grafted into the family of God, then we're the apple of his eye as well. The children of God, we are the apple of his eye. We're the crown of creation. Does he care about us? Oh yes, Psalm 8 says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Praise God. That we are valuable to the Lord. Amen. And so be encouraged in that, to know that He's the God of all comfort. So no matter what you go through, no matter your trouble, no matter your sickness, no matter your worries, whatever is pressing upon your mind and on your heart, God is in control. You're His child. And if He can keep the world and the universe in order, I believe He can take care of your problems too. Amen. Yes, He can. He's the God who can work in every situation that you have. Amen. Verse 28, it says, hast thou known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. He's calling your attention. Look at creation. If you think that God can't handle your problems, then you walk out of here tonight, and when it gets dark, you just look up and you see all the glorious creation and just be reminded that He is the God. If He can do all of that, then He can certainly take care of your needs. Amen. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He gives strength. Praise the Lord. Then it's over in verse 8 of chapter 41. The theme continues, and actually if you read through Isaiah, you'll see this message just repeated over and over again, that He is the God who is concerned about you and will come to your aid. He is your helper who will come and rescue and will help you. He says, Thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men, said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Praise God. You need to remember that God has chosen you. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To consider that God knows you and knows everything about you, and He has chosen you. I told you that yesterday I took Zach to this recovery center, and we had a little time in the car. He's very quiet. I mean, he's gone through some pretty traumatic things in the last couple of months. Very quiet. And so I just took that time to talk to him, and I just said, Zach, do you understand that you were in a place in a foreign country where there were thousands of children that had been kind of thrown away and forsaken, but God, in His mercy, reached down and pulled you out and put you in our home. He put you in a place where you could know God and hear about God and know the things of God. Do you understand the handiwork of God? The mercy of God. I'm telling you, God is merciful. Do you understand that God chose you, Zach? God chose you. Amen. He chose you. Let me tell you, him being in the States is a miracle. I spent a month over there. Marcia spent a couple of weeks anyway over there trying to make it happen. And I mean, it was like we were jumping through one hurdle and then we'd hit a brick wall, and then we'd have to figure out another way to get to. And one of the things that we had to do was, when I was there, was we learned we had to go to his home district and get some documents there from the courts there. And I know I've told this before. It's been a long time, but when I got there, I had to drive there, which is crazy driving in Romania when you don't know how to do that, but I did. The Ursus loaned me their vehicle, and I drove something like 50 miles or 60 miles to this district called Deva, and I had to go to this court. They said, you can't do this adoption process unless you get this document in your hand, and the prefect, which is kind of like the clerk of the court or the boss of the county, he's the guy that you'll have to get it from. So when I went into his office, his secretary said, and I couldn't understand much English. I had a guy with me who was translating, but basically she said, he's too busy, he can't see you today. And I knew that if I didn't get into that office with him and get that document from him, that I was not going to be able to get done what I needed to get done. So I just sat there and I told the lady through the translator, well, we can't leave until he sees us. And I know it frustrated her to no end, but I just sat there. We just sat there and we waited and waited. Finally, she got up and went inside of another room in his office. And I don't know how long we waited. It was a pretty good while we waited. And then in her frustration, she said, okay, he'll see you now. And I go in. It was one of those deals of, you know, when you go and you just don't give up. You just keep pressing. And him telling me all the reasons why that I couldn't have it. And I just said, yes, but I have to have it. I have to have it. Yes, and he went through his explanations. And we went back and forth for quite a while till finally, I think, out of frustration, he said, okay, we'll see what we can do. And so this lady took me, the secretary, took me into a room, a large room. If you've ever been up to the Law County Courthouse, the room where they keep all the deeds and all of that, that room is full with these big books and all these documents. And so she took me into that room and she went over and she searched and she came up with the book that had the record of Zach being born in that district. His name was Totsi Robert. Totsi, they called him Roby. His name was, Totsi was his surname, his last name, but they go last names first. They called him Totsi Robert. And so I showed her our adoption papers that we had, and I said, well, we've got to have this information from you. And so she took and she erased his name in that book, and she wrote down his new name, which was Zachary Alexander Jarvis. She wrote that in the book. So in the books in Deva, Romania, in that district, in that book, it looks as if he was born to Marcia and me. There's no other document that could prove it in any other way. Because God chose him and put him in our life. Now, I'm telling you, there's been some ups and downs over the years. But the Lord chose him. And the Lord put him in our family for a purpose and a reason. Some of those reasons we may not understand until we get to heaven. But God placed him in our family. And I told him yesterday, I said, Zach, you were chosen by God. Out of all of these others, you were chosen. Don't throw that away. Surrender your life to God and to his purpose for your life. Isn't it a wonderful thing, the fact that God has chosen us? And I've told you this before, but do you understand that the laws in most states in the U.S. are so stringent, and I'm sure Sister Bennett knows about this, but they're so stringent that if you have natural born children and you want to disinherit them, legally you can do that. But if you have an adopted child, you cannot do that. Praise God. Do you understand we've been adopted in the family of God? If you're a child of God, you have been adopted into the family of God, and your name has been written in that book. And you belong to him. You have been chosen of the Lord. Praise God. And that's what he says here. He said, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Praise God. Be encouraged tonight. Take comfort in the fact that if you're born again, that God chose you and the Lord saved you and has done this work of marvelous grace in your life. You have been chosen of the Lord. And so because you have been chosen of God, He is your help. He is your strength. Amen. Let me read on here. Verse 10, which is probably the key verse, or my favorite verse in the whole book of Isaiah. Verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Praise God. Amen. You've been chosen of the Lord, so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be encouraged. Receive the comfort of the promise of God, and don't be afraid. Why? Because He said, I'm with you. I'm with you. Whatever you go through, if it's trouble in your home, if it's trouble in your health, if it's problems in your finances, whatever you go through, He's saying, don't be afraid. I'm going with you. No matter what you're going through here tonight, if you are dealing with loneliness, if you're dealing with depression, if you're dealing with discouragement, whatever it is, He said, don't be afraid, because I'm going to go with you. You're not walking through this by yourself. Praise God. I am with you. You're chosen of the Lord. You belong to Him. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, and that word literally just means discouraged or depressed or filled with anxiety. Don't allow that. He said, don't be dismayed, for I am thy God. I belong to you. You are mine, and I am yours. Amen. I am your God. I will strengthen. That just tells me that we are not, you know, we don't serve a God that's out there somewhere that's disinterested or far removed from us. No, he is our personal God who cares about every detail. If He can name all the stars and set the universe all in its motion and do all that He's done in creation, don't you think that you can trust Him to take care of you in your life, in your needs? Praise God, you can. I will strengthen you when you're weak, when you're in need, when you can't pull it off in your own power and strength. He says, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to be your strength. I'm going to strengthen you. Does He have strength? He's got all the power of the universe. He can do anything. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. I'll strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. It means you're not alone. He's going to come alongside you. He's going to help you whenever you can't. Then He's going to help you in your struggles, in your worries, in your problems, whatever that they might be. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee. Praise God. When you can't even make it, He said, I'll just pick you up. I'll hold you. I'll pick you up. If you can't go another step, if you have run out of strength and ability, He said, I'll uphold you. I'll take hold of you. I'll hold you and carry you through your need. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Praise God. So He's chosen us, and He's promised to be our helper, to never forsake us. You're not a cast away. You're not forsaken. But the God who created everything that is the same God that cares about you. And even more than He cares about creation, He cares about His chosen people. Praise God. Hallelujah. The last part that I'll call your attention is that He'll fight your battles for you. Because it says there in verses 10 and 11, all these enemies that rise up against you, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they shall strive with thee. They that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even men that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. That's how God deals with your enemies. That's how He fights your battles for you. Verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying, Fear not, I will help thee. Praise God. I'll help you. I'll help you. I'll be right there for you to fight your enemies and to destroy your enemies that fight against you. I'll make them as naught. I'll make them as if they didn't even exist and don't even exist. God who fights your battle. Praise God. So he's the God of all comfort. He's the God who has chosen us. He's the God who helps us, and he's the God who fights for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lay hold of the promise of God here tonight. God is fighting your battle. Who is this God? Well, he's the God of all creation. Amen. He's the God of creation. And when you review and look at all of the wonderful things in creation, let it be a reminder to you, if he can do that, then he can certainly take care of me and my needs and my problems. Praise God. Father, thank you for the promise of your word. Thank you, Lord, that we are not alone, but you're the God of all comfort who comes to our aid to bless us, to strengthen us, to uphold us, to fight our battles for us. Thank you, Lord, that we have been chosen of you, Lord, adopted into the family of God. Lord, that you have made us your child, your son, your daughter. And oh, we're so grateful, Lord, that you care about us and you care about our needs. In Jesus' name, why don't we stand together? Praise the Lord.